John 3, verse 14 through 18. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
We're going to take a look for just a little while together this morning about the theme that Faith Kids has had. But I want to do one thing before we jump into the sermon. And that is, and she'll probably hate me for this, so that's okay. Jean did an incredible job of thanking all of the people who volunteer and give of your time so frequently. But I know from experience, Jean has such an incredible heart for kids and gives so much of herself to care for our kids and to lead the volunteers. Would you do me a favor and just thank Jean for just a moment? Jean's the one that pulls the themes together, and she pulls the leaders together, and she equips them so thoroughly. And so we're going to look at the theme that she has set for the kids. To look up, to set your minds on heavenly things. And I want to get at that by reminding us of why it is that we get to look up, why it is that we have such an invitation set before us to consider heavenly things and to set our minds on things that are different than the world. And I want to start by particularly maybe to the kids this morning, kids, that's anywhere from seniors all the way down to little kids, but I'll call you kids if that's okay. I want to tell you a story about my friend named Kevin. He's not somebody you probably know. Kevin was a friend of mine when we lived in Grand Rapids, and I got to know Kevin. He was a member of the first church that I served, and Kevin came to faith through the former pastor of that church. And the way that Kevin came to faith was he was high on some drugs, and he drove his car off the end of the road and smashed into our church building. He met the pastor that way. And it turns out that Kevin's experience before he came to know Jesus was one of a fairly rough life. He had some trouble in his family. He had some trouble with abusing drugs. And he got to know the church through this very unexpected experience. Fast forward just a little bit. I had come into the church. I was serving the church. I had gotten to know Kevin. His life had turned around for a decent amount. He was regularly worshiping within the community. He was connected to brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ who were encouraging him, who were walking beside him. Until one day I got a phone call that said Kevin had been arrested and thrown in jail. From there, I didn't actually have any connection with him after that first time where he was in jail because he got stuck into the court system. And by the next time that I was able to visit him, he had moved from the county jail in Grand Rapids to a maximum security prison on the other side of the state. What I had come to find out when I met with Kevin for the first time is that Kevin had a relapse and he started using drugs again. And from that experience, got himself into a really big mess. And over what turned out to be about $150 worth of drugs, he had ended up stabbing another person and killing him. And it was after that experience that I got to step into this maximum security prison, and I met Kevin again for the first time after about 4 months of being arrested in his trial. And I share the story of Kevin with you this morning because I want to share with you the posture that Kevin took when I was able to meet him again. Remember, Kevin and I knew each other. We were friends. We knew each other well. We had grown together in our walk with Jesus. But that time, that moment when I met Kevin there in the maximum security prison, Kevin would not look me in the eye. He walked in a blaze orange jumper, and he stared at the floor. And even when I extended my hand to shake his hand, because we weren't really allowed to hug when we were there, he would not look me in the eye. He just looked down at the floor. And there was something about Kevin that had changed dramatically. The level of shame that he held within him would not allow him to look up. It would not allow him to see my eyes and what I would hope would be experience love. There was something in him that made him look down. And never look up. And I share that with you today because it helps us kind of hold on to the tension in this passage and why it is that the theme set before us to set our minds on heavenly things, to look up, is such an incredible invitation. Because maybe your story isn't as heartbreaking as Kevin's. But maybe you gathered in this place this morning and you're having trouble looking up because maybe there's some other shame in your story that just makes you want to look down. Some other experience where it's hard to look up at other people and experience love. So maybe it's shame. Maybe it's a place of broken trust in a relationship that you have with a child or with a spouse or with a coworker. And when you get to that spot and into that relationship, it's hard to look up. Because it's hard to look in their eyes. Maybe you've gathered in this place this morning and it's hard to look up because of the grief that you carry with you in the loss of someone that you love. Or the loss of something that is incredibly important to you. See, these are the human level stories of what it is that is being experienced in our text for this morning. It's the story of Kevin. It's the story of our shame. It's the story of grief and broken trust. And yet in this text, and the theme that's been percolating in the hearts of our kids is an invitation for us to look up. Because what I want you to experience this morning is to experience how in this text, Jesus is the lifter of heads. Jesus is the one, by the work that he does, that meets us in our shame, that meets us in that broken trust, that meets us in our grief, and he invites us to look up. And I want to get at that with you for just a little while this morning because it's at the heart of what we've been inviting the kids into, to set your mind on heavenly things. And so look with me, if you would, at starting with John 3, verse 14. I want to look with you a little bit deeper about what's going on, about why it is that we so often just look down, why it is that we live like Kevin, if you would. And if you look at verse 14, it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. There's this incredible story about Moses lifting up the snake. And so if you would, you can keep your finger there. If you want to flip with it, it's actually in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 is this, it's kind of a brutal story, if I can say that. Numbers chapter 21, it's a story about how, maybe let's just read a little bit of it. It's the story of Israel after they've been released from captivity in Egypt. And they've seen the Red Sea, and they've experienced the providential hand of God, the care of a creator over them. And this is what Numbers 21 says. It says, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God, and I love this line, and against Moses. Remember, Moses is writing this book. Just good to remember. They spoke against God and Moses, right? And said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. Now, remember where Israel is in this part of the story. They've been through the Red Sea, and God has already provided for them water from a rock, and he's also provided for them manna and quail in the middle of the desert. God has been sustaining them, providing for them, caring for them on this whole journey, and then this is their response. We don't like the bread. There's not enough water. You see, what was going on in their heart was they loved the life of slavery because of what it could provide, rather than the life of trust, which came with freedom. And so what happens in this story is that in the middle of the wilderness, God sends both consequence and punishment for Israel's turning heart. They're disconnecting from God. And so in the middle of the wilderness, God sends poisonous snakes. And as a consequence of complaining against God and against Moses, the people start receiving the consequence of being bitten by snakes. And some of them receive the punishment of dying because of those bites. This is the story about why Israel keeps looking down. They're living in this kind of self-made problem, where they're longing to be back in slavery rather than free and trusting the God who cares. What makes us look down? What brings us to those places in our own lives of shame or broken trust or grief? Part of it is our own longing to be back in slavery because we like what it brings versus freedom and trust. Part of it is our own experience of the brokenness of creation and the results of sin and its impact in our story and in our world. And it comes with consequence and it comes with punishment. It comes with the realities of things that happen when our relationships are broken or when we bend our hearts back to the shame. But it also comes with punishment. Romans 3, the wages of sin is death. And I would invite you to see how in that very moment, this is what John is capturing. Into that moment of kind of our self-made problem, into that moment of grumbling and complaining and shame and brokenness, in that moment, the Son of Man must be lifted up. What John does is he captures this ancient story, but then he tells of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Because if you look where John goes next, he goes on to talk about this picture of, as Moses lifted up the snake, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up. Because the story in Numbers 21 comes with a moment of grace. In the midst of all of the snake bites that are going on, the people confessed that they were wrong. They confessed that what they had done in this grumbling and complaining wasn't how they should be responding in trust and faith. And so Moses prays to God, and God says, I'm not going to take away the snakes, interestingly enough. But what I'm going to do is give you a place to look where you can experience grace. And so Moses fashions this bronze snake. He puts it high on a pole. And anyone who is bitten, receiving the consequences of sin, can look to this snake and not die, not receive the punishment for their sin. The consequence remains, but the punishment is gone. That's the incredible picture of the bronze snake in the wilderness. It's representing the very thing that sent them and gave them the consequence and even represented the punishment. But it was the very thing that took it away. And so John captures that same picture and he says, this is what Jesus does. This is the picture and the invitation set before you. Where the one who is raised up holds in him, he embodies the punishment. And yet this side of glory, the consequences still remain, but the punishment is gone. This is what John captures. If you look at a few other passages, it reminds us of this is what's going on. In Deuteronomy 21, it says, if someone is guilty of a capital offense and is put to death and their body is exposed on a pole, you must not leave the body hanging on the pole overnight. Be sure to bury it that same day, because anyone who is hung on a pole is under God's curse. Paul captures that same idea, Galatians 3:13, speaking here of Jesus and the cross. He says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. You see, just as Moses raises a bronze snake because the people are being bitten by a snake, Jesus takes upon himself the curse that should be ours, and he is lifted up. So that when we look at him, our curse is removed. Jesus is the lifter of heads. Because when he is lifted up, he brings our eyes from our own shame and our own brokenness, and he makes us look at grace. At him carrying the curse for us. See, this is the invitation to set our hearts and our minds on heavenly things. Jesus himself making a way through the curse so that we may have life, lifting our eyes from our shame and from broken trust and from grief, and helping us see the way beyond and through to glory with him. And I want to stress for you, if I could, just how important the act of believing is to look up. To look up at Jesus, who died our death, who carried the curse, who made a way for us to live. If you notice what John does, John goes back and repeatedly, he talks about this idea of belief, of believing. John stresses the idea of belief, which is practiced in looking up at Jesus. Notice John doesn't say, if you know enough, or if you're righteous enough. John simply says, believe. Believe. Believe that the one who was raised on the cross is able to carry the curse for you. You don't need to know fully what it means. You don't need to fully know how it's going to play out in your life. You just simply believe. You trust. And you look up. When your eyes are bent down in shame, in broken trust, or in grief, Jesus is the lifter of heads. And he invites you to look up. That's what makes the theme that you guys have been looking at about setting your hearts and your minds on heavenly things so incredibly gracious. I want to look with you at those words again. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Set your minds, set your hearts, Paul says in the verse prior. Set the whole of your being in a place where you're looking up. Because remember, Christ was lifted on the cross. He was raised up on the cross to be cursed for us. When he died, he was raised to life so that death doesn't get the final word. And just a few days later, he was raised into glory as he ascends to be at the right hand of the Father, where he sits and he intercedes on our behalf. He was raised up on the cross. He was raised up to new life. He was raised up into glory. And the cross always points us to his work interceding on our behalf. Jesus is the lifter of heads. Throughout his entire earthly ministry and his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, it's always about turning our eyes up to him. John 3 is a passage that reminds us that Jesus is the lifter of heads. And so for those of us in grief, look up. Jesus knows our pain. He knows our loss. He knows our sorrow. But blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. To those who are experiencing broken trust, look up, because Jesus himself was betrayed by those who were closest to him. And yet, at least in Peter's case, he knew how to reconcile and restore and renew that relationship. Jesus is the lifter of heads. To those who are weighed down by shame, look up. Jesus knows the pain, but he loves you all the more. Look up and believe that he is for you. See, Jesus is the lifter of heads. As he was lifted on the cross, become the curse for us, he draws our attention to that saving grace that comes only in him. And I'm reminded of that often as I reflect on the story of Kevin. I lost track of him. I lost touch with him as we moved to Iowa several years ago. To the best of my understanding, Kevin is still serving his sentence, his life sentence, for the murder that he committed. But I won't forget the moment that I had with him in that maximum security prison, where through tears and confession, he received again the grace of Jesus, knowing that he was forgiven, that the punishment was gone, even if the consequence remained. And I remember the moment, because we're sitting on metal chairs with a metal table, his hands and feet still handcuffed together. And he finally looked up. And we looked each other in the eye. And we talked about Jesus and grace and forgiveness. So kids, I want to invite you to remember the theme that you've had. Set your minds on things above. Because it has such a rich depth to it about why we get to do that. Because Jesus himself is the lifter of heads. He was lifted on the cross to die in our place. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, so we look up and we see him interceding and reminding us of the grace we've been given. Jesus is the lifter of heads. Let's believe that promise again today. Would you pray with me? Father, here in these moments, you are the one who knows what we carried in our hearts into this place today. You are the one who knows why we're looking down. You are the one who knows our shame, broken trust, and grief. But allow us the grace to believe again the promise that you are the lifter of heads. And we can look up and see Jesus on the cross carrying that curse. We can look up and we can see Jesus risen from the grave, risen from the dead, reminding us that even the enemy of death does not win. We can look up and we can see Jesus seated at your right hand, ruling and reigning over all things. Give us the grace to believe the promise that Jesus is the lifter of heads. For we ask these things in his name. Amen.